And let's get a running start. I'm late. Good to see you. Glad to have you. Appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Let me tell you about a couple of things going on. Traffic-wise, I'm not sure exactly where this is at. 14333 Rosman Highway, Lake Toxaway, motor vehicle accident. That has just happened just a minute ago. And then this can't be the same one. Well, it could be the same one. Or another one near there. It's 13815 Rosman Highway near Indian Creek Drive. So, these both have come in there in the past little bit. And I'm still not exactly sure where they are. I'll get on the map and see if I can locate it. But that is a possible concern for folks in the upper end here this afternoon. Glad to have you with us. 577-1296, 884-9427. Those are the numbers you communicate with us through. That first one, 1296, 577-1296, that is the text line, and that comes directly to the iPad that I'm sitting here looking at. And then the 884-9427 today, Brianna is the producer, and she's the director. She's taking the calls, and then Daniel is on the video today, and so we appreciate you being with us. You can listen, of course, if you're listening already. You can also watch, not that you would want to, but you could. You can watch, and is my blood pressure high? Well, that's called sunburnt. Yeah, October sunburn. Yeah, that's what that's called. Yeah, and it could be high, but that's what that's called, October sunburn, yeah. It's interesting when you have to have on three layers in the morning because it's so cold, you can't hardly stand it, scratch eyes, get sunburnt. And so you got your heat on in the morning, you got your air conditioning on in the afternoon, and then you got your heat on again at night, and you get sunburnt in the middle of the day with your big coat on. It's just, yeah. Pretty weather though, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. It's been perfect. I mean, you can't hardly say anything about it at all. But let me tell you what we can tell you about. And that is the traffic. And so let's start with I-26. We're slow from the airport up to the parkway, and so it'll moderate time. You're going up the hill, but it is slow from 191 to 146. Also, it is slow, and that is on I-26. It is also slow on 191 itself, and that is from Avers Creek Light all the way to Clayton Road, and it's very slow through there, and then it goes back to slow from there to the light at the Arboretum. I don't know if there's enough traffic to merit that light. That light seems to hold the traffic and cause problems all the way back through there. And I don't know if it's triggered and it's the Arboretum and the Parkway get priority. I don't know what it is, but this time of the day, it backs the traffic up to that stoplight. Yep. Coming out of Asheville's not bad today. It's going toward Asheville. And it's because I-26 is so slow, backed up starting at the airport. So everybody tried that they took 191. It's also affected 25. And so at the airport, Highway 25, from there up to 146, that's all going to be slow. Your sneaky back road from taking 25A, you're going to be very slow from around the Chicken Shack north. Yeah, all the way up to the Mills Gap Road. Coming south on 25A, it's under the parkway. It's backed up under the parkway. On 25, you're backed up into Biltmore Forest. It's very slow through that stretch. You get to the parkway, it begins to open up a little bit once you get to the parkway. All right, let me see here. What else we got? I-40. Got a moderate patch of traffic right around 25A eastbound. Then you've got slow traffic from the Biltmore exit westbound through Biltmore Forest there, through the actual estate. I-40 actually comes through the Biltmore estate. And it is slow from Highway 25 west to about the old racetrack, and that's where it picks up. you will pick up to speed. You'll get through Malfunction Junction with no problems, and then you're going to get on the brakes because at exit 44, you're back to slow traffic, and then it's going to go to very slow over near the scale house before you get to the Candler exit. Yeah, I-40, that's right. It's very slow in places there this afternoon. A little slower than normal and a little further back than normal in Asheville, and we're slow 240 westbound. But everything's good coming down from I-26 onto the bridges. You've got your normal stoplight issues there at Sam's that backs it up across the bridge. But other than that, that's good. That whole intersection through there is good, so no issues there. Let's try to go a little further west. Dang, things are good. Go check the north. We're fine. And let me see here what else we got. I told you I was going to check Lake Toxway. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if it's on. Yeah, let's see. Well, I don't know. Don't know if that's it or not. I've got a couple of different places here. I've got one place that's... Where's it at? Other end of Frozen Creek. Frozen Creek. What other end of Frozen Creek?
Flat Creek Valley.
Flat Creek Valley. Yeah, I got you. Okay, now I know where you are. Okay. And, yeah, that matter of fact, maybe right there at Whetstone Gap Road. Maybe where that's at. I'm not positive that's where it's at, but there is a problem on both sides of the highway. And it is backing up right there at Whetstone Gap. And so, anyway, of course, they've been rude on that road, but that's all finished. They are striping the road through there today. And don't get that all over your car. Some of my people like to drive through it to be hateful. But if it slings up on your paint, that stuff's hard to get off. Your wheels and your tires and your inner fender and everything else. It is. It's hard to get off. Yeah, they use good stuff on the road. So it's not something you want to deliberately run through. All right, and so that's what I got to tell you about. I don't think they're working on the Green River Bridge today, so that looks okay. Spartanburg is fine, and Greenville is not fine. You're very slow today, just below 385, up across through that intersection, up until you get to Pelham. And then if you're southbound, it starts very slow around Highway... Well, I guess I don't even know what is the name of that highway. It is, it's there at the BMW plant at that exchange. From there, heading south, it is very slow from BMW down to 14, right there at the end of the airport. It will pick up and turn off to slow to get down past Pelham, and then it'll pick up. But get on the brakes starting at 385. It is very slow down to the Motor Mile. And then it picks up. There's a wreck. That's what's causing it on I-85 southbound. And so you're going to actually come into two wrecks. There's another one. And so you're going to be slow through that whole south side through there. It's going to be on and off. Heading north, you're slow from, again, back between 276 and 385, and you're going to be slow, very slow. Do you get clear 285, the 385 exchange, and then you're going to go back to slow up to Pelham, and it'll moderate. We've got wrecks. I don't know what's going on in Greenville today, but we've got wrecks like you can't believe. 14 all backed up in there near the 14 and Westmoreland Road. There's a wreck right in there. Both sides are stopped, and yeah, it's backed all the way up down to Pelham, causing problems there. There's... people trying to figure out a way around that one. There's, let's see, where else I see the other wrecks at? I did see them. There's one on Carolina Point Highway. There's also there one on, it's causing all the backup on the northbound, I-85, just beyond 385. That's one causing all your trouble. So a number of wrecks in the city this afternoon, that other one on I-85 southbound that I mentioned. And... I don't even know where that's at. Chick Springs Road. Okay, there's another one. So that's what we know about this afternoon. And a lot of these roads I'm not familiar with. Yeah, I'm not sure You can't get there from here. Yeah. So anyway. All right. Let's look at temperatures. 70 on the button. 70 degrees right here, right now. And if we roll up to find the Asheville airport temperature, we're going to see that it is 73. And this was at 4:54 this afternoon. The humidity 28%, clear skies, visibility 10 miles. Yeah, beautiful. And then drop off down the mountain, and we're going to see a differential, not too much. It is 78 degrees at 4:53 when they reported at Greenville-Spartanburg. And they had a humidity of 33% and sunshine. And so anyway, very nice conditions prevail. I don't see any precipitation in the southeast at all. Well, you got to go as far west as Mississippi. Yep, I just found some. And so there's a little bit of patch of rain coming up right up through the middle of Mississippi between, what road is that, 55? It's between Interstate 55 and 22, right in that area. Smithfield, right through there. Yeah, I know some folks there. I do. Red Bay, Tishomingo. Yeah, I know folks there. Sure do. And rain's coming your way. It's coming right up towards you there. It's not a big rain, but it is raining. It is rain coming that way. That's the only one. It's the only one I got. Then right down below it, just out of Gulfport, Mississippi, there's a little bit. So there's a little system coming up, riding up through the middle of the country there, and just to the east of the Mississippi River. But outside of that, it is just about completely clear. High pressure has really established itself. So when we talk about the forecast, we're talking about clear skies or partly cloudy, and that's the rule. It's just a matter of the numbers, okay? So we're moderating on those low temperatures to 49 tonight, so we won't have any frost or ice, anything like that. 69 tomorrow. We're going to have a little chance of a shower tomorrow evening. And so that's something I need to consider. I need to get tarps on the building if that's the case. And then for Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 68. Friday night, low around 44. Saturday, 68. Saturday night, 48. Sunday, 72. Sunday night, 52. Monday, 72. Monday night, a chance of showers, 54. Tuesday, a chance of showers, 30%, 68. Tuesday night, 48 degrees. And Wednesday, a chance of showers, 67. So this is the week for the roof work, which is what we've been doing. And so, yeah, all right, thank you. Let me quickly tell you that the 20th day of the month of October is being underwritten by Melody Walton, and it's in memory of her husband, Roger, and this would have been his 51st spiritual birthday. And we miss Brother Roger immensely, but we do appreciate Miss Melody reminding us of his spiritual birthday today here on the general budget of Anchor Broadcasting. 94.9 and the Anchor Broadcasting Network is being sponsored by Paul and Ann Diamond, and it's in honor of their 42nd wedding anniversary. They thank God for salvation and his goodness and mercy. And we say thank you to Paul and Ann for underwriting 94.9, WGCR.net, the music, video, and preaching channels. Thank you. God bless you. 36 days until Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? 36 days on the countdown. Yep. Let's see. This morning at observation, I think we had 35, I believe is what we had, and 37 when we took it, but the low had been 35. Yesterday's high was 73. And so, yeah. All right, let me see here. Let me just go to the text line right quick. I will do the roll call in a minute. But God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, Anchor Broadcasting. And let me see here. That fall, assist sunburn, fall burn. Yeah, you got that right. It's fall burn. And there's a wreck on Little Quebec. That's what's causing the traffic. A truck hit a bear. And apparently two vehicles got the same bear, polar bear, and it's bear season. And so, but don't hunt them with a truck. And that's why they're showing two wrecks. Okay, well, that would make sense. All right, somebody hit a bear. And so, yeah, one of our guys got a bear. Yeah, sure did. About a couple hundred pounds. Pretty good size. Yeah, well, nobody hunts bears anymore. They're becoming about like squirrels around here. Matter of fact, somebody said the other day they think there's more bear than there are white squirrels. Now, I don't know who I don't know who counts all this stuff, but anyway, we so let me see here. What's all the day? Okay. Okay. What that is. Anniversary follower. What's that?
Apparently, today's the day we started broadcasting on Facebook years ago.
On Facebook? Yeah. And so Facebook's doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know what that meant. We're an anniversary. I didn't know what the anniversary was about. Okay. So today we started broadcasting on Facebook. Okay. Well, now we know. All right. So we've been on the internet. We've been on the internet. 19, we're the oldest internet radio station, continuously broadcasting Christian radio station in America. But I can't, I'll have to ask Lamar. Isn't it the 5th of May?
It's in May.
But it's the 5th of May, but what year? Was it 97? I don't remember. Somewhere back there. I said, Lamar, I need to ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, what's an internet? He said, well, it's really not a it. It's a series of things. He began to explain to me. And that was history, yeah. Let's welcome this afternoon the cities of Ann Arbor, Arden, Asheville, Augusta, Avon, Brevard, Carson City, Fort Mill, Grassy Creek, Greer, Hendersonville, Houston, Kingsport, Lexington, Marion, Miami, Morrisville, Murphy, Nassau, Plymouth, Richardson, San Jose, Springdale. We know there's folks in Europe that are listening this afternoon. We know there are folks, Europe, come on. It's odd. I don't have my Canadians today. You know, there's been some internet trouble. There's been trouble this afternoon. Yeah, and our international audience is off. Normally, I'm looking at a big map. Normally, it is lit up, but not today. But I do have a European connection that I see. Got one. But that's all we got. And to not have Canada is very unusual. So, not sure what's going on. But I heard the engineers. I'm on the text string with the engineering group. They were all chattering about it this afternoon. And we have, I don't know how many, I guess there's five techs, engineers, all the others combined. I guess there's five of us on that stream. And they were chattering about it was that there was an issue, but it wasn't ours. And they went through the local. They checked us, and then they went through the local system, and then from there. So it was outbound. It was something out there. And I don't know, well, what time it was. I can tell you about what time it was. What time was it? It was 4 o'clock?
Three
something? Yeah, because it was, I can see the dip there. It was, I mean, we lost about everybody. Wow. Well, I'm going to go back to what I say. I'm going to go back to what I keep saying. We are overusing and over-relying upon the internet. I'm telling you we are. It is not, it's not what it needs to be. It's just very, very fickle. Let's welcome this afternoon from Hendersonville, Daryl, and from the Philippines, Nick, and Belinda from Flat Rock, also Gary from Valley Hill, Kathy from Mills River. There's Canadian. They are watching in Canada, Miss Josephine, and Vanny is watching in the Philippines, so we do have some folks going out that direction. Miss Mary is watching in Pisgah Forest. Frank from Danville, Alabama. Geraldine from Legaspi. Brother Wallace from Greenville, thank you. Dolores from from the local area, Joel from the Philippines, Joseph, thank you. All right, God bless you, appreciate you. All right, thank you very much. And all right, that was a bear. That's what's happened up in the mountains. A bear. They're getting past you. The other day, it was the crowd was here, so I know exactly what time it was. It was about 1:30 in the daytime, and all of our clients were lined up waiting to get in the freeway at the warehouse. So it's probably Tuesday. Our security cameras show a bear come up out of the creek, walk over. He's so big that he stands up and puts his paws up on the wall. Pretty good sized bear. That wall is shoulder high on me. Okay, so he's standing on the bottom where we park our trucks. His head and shoulders are above the wall. That's how big he was. He just bloop, and he's right up. There's people within 20 feet. He walks over. He's watching the people. They're watching him. He looks at the dumpster, which is open. He thinks about it. And then one of the older gentlemen apparently tried to take his photograph up close. Yeah. And he didn't like that. He's camera shy. So he left and went back the way he came. We've seen him on security cameras a couple of times here. What concerns me about that is that it was broad daylight, number one. A bear is out rummaging on broad daylight. Of course, this time of the year, that cold nights, that's they're trying to put on some body weight. But still, that he come up and was not at all afraid of those people. And not until one of the people approached him, and he was within 20 feet of the people. If a bear had come up on the wall, I mean, think about it. Normally, within 20 feet of you, people were screaming and running. They didn't. I don't think they wanted to lose their place in line. Bear or no bear. A couple of little old ladies that probably would whoop that thing, get their place. But, happened right here. One day this week, I saw it on the security video. He's on camera. Pretty good size one. I don't know. Pretty good size. Anyway. All right. Well, let me change gears here this afternoon. Just I'm going to mention this, and it's a good thought. There's a faithful listener, Kenneth of Handcrafted Furniture. He's challenging businesses to help Daggies with expenses for Dagmar, and she has had COVID, and she is in very serious condition, and so he went in today, traded with the restaurant, and gave a sizable donation toward her medical bills. And so he wanted to mention that and say that it would behoove some folks to go try to do that and try to help her out. And so, and I've been trying to get some, of course, I am working, up in Sapphire, so I don't have phone signal. And for that reason, it's been hard to do anything. So let me just mention, we have today a dump truck completely full of shingles. We have got all the shingles off the building. It was a 912. It's a large building. And what we run into, though, we run into some rot, so that was an issue. We also have run into, they have taken and put a product called Ice Dam, or ice, snow and ice shield, I guess it's called, down, and it's a rubbery type product that's glued down, sticky. And we have had a fit trying to get that off the plywood. And of course, the plan is to reuse the plywood. So it has really been tough. So they've spent a lot of the day trying to do that, get all of that off. And so we are taking the building down. It's all been approved. We are pulling everything out of it. A week from Monday, AR Construction pulls in. They're actually going to stay up in the community. They'll be there for a week. They've taken the structure down. It's coming to the ground that week. So we have to have all the light fixtures out. We have to have all of the plumbing out. We have to have all the shingles off. We have to have all the masonry siding off. All that's got to be clear. So all that's got to be done. That's the preparatory work. We had two lifts today from United Rentals. Had them. I actually led them in this morning, showed them how to get there, and that driver was a brother. He listens, and we appreciate that, and good fellowship with him. And so we're making the hour trip in. It's only 30 miles, but it takes 55 minutes from here. And so we're taking the service trucks in. We're taking trailers in. And whatever we tear out today, we bring out today, put it in the laydown yard, and then we retool and we go back. We also took our lull in today on our Kenworth. We took it up and had to drive it in. The Kenworth it won't go in those. I wouldn't take it in either way. The Burlingame way is rutted out so bad because the big trucks are running in and out. And then on the other way, you just can't ground those curves. It's really tough. So we unloaded at Whitewater Baptist. And they drove the lull in. And it's been a sunburned day. And I appreciate JD Roofing, Brother Jacob Ellidge, and his crew. They've been working with us this week, been doing some of the high-level work, 9/12 stuff. You have to hang by a rope and work it. And, of course, we're having to do all the OSHA and all the fall protection, all those things. Yeah, so we're in all of that, and the hard hats and vests and the whole, you know, everything that has to be done. But we are, we're actually inviting volunteers that like to come work, like come help. We are have to take all the sheetrock out. We have to take all the electrical out. We have the HVAC is already gone, got it out. But we've got a lot of other work to do in prep for next week. So we get there at 9 in the morning. So we leave here at this church at 8. It takes us till 9 o'clock to get there. Time we get all in our harnesses and get everybody up on the roofs. Time we have our safety meeting. Get everybody up. It's usually, you know, it's approaching 9:30. They stay on the roof until noon. They come down to eat, go back straight back up, stay on the roof to 4:30. And then at 4:30, they start the cleanup, and they pull out at 5 and get back here at 6, and the boys go straight, well, and the girls, that we've been using both, go straight to Bible college. Last night, one of them's face, he'd get a chance to wash his face, and it was black, I'm telling you, from all the tar and everything that he was done. And somebody's asking about plumbing. We are demoing all the plumbing and all that stuff. Yeah, we sure are. And the electrical, we got a lot of conduit to take down, a lot of things like that with the lifts. And so there's a lot to it, but we're excited about the prospects and getting it down. And there's no telling how much plywood's in that thing. There's no telling. But we're saving everything. So that's the big issue. We're saving a big part of it and going to reuse a large portion of it. And for that reason, we're having to do a little extra work, you know, pull all the nails out and all the things. So it's just taking a little bit of time. So thank you for praying for us and with us. And because of that, you can't get cell service up there. You can't. You walk around the side of the building a certain way, you walk around one place and all of a sudden your phone will go off and you'll get 10 texts when you walk around there, you know, certain place. And then today I tried to get in that certain place to answer phone calls and couldn't. So, and then we tried to send iMessages and that wouldn't go. You had to send SMS text, yeah, when you could. And so it's been a challenge. But we're excited. If you haven't heard, we were the property owner who bought the old Presbyterian camp, Camp Buck. He donated the dining hall to us, built in 2001, and we are taking it down. It was a post and beam construction, all bolted together. And so it's the perfect building for takedown, so because you just take the bolts loose. So we've got a demolition plan. We brought in the original engineer who built it and talked with the original architect who drew it. Brought them up for a site visit, paid them to come up, and then from that we hired our engineer. We did the structural analysis. They did a takedown on it as far as how to take it down, what order to take it down, and all those things. One of the things we're finding is, though, that we're having we can't get equipment. We can't even rent equipment. I had 2 30-foot lifts scheduled for the day. Got a call. One of them didn't work. And so initially, they left the yard with just one. I caught them at the airport and said, look, guys, I got to have something. So they went back and got me a 24, 26-foot Nara lift. And that it worked out, and we're okay. But trying to get a boom lift, it's not happening. There's not any. I called today trying to find lulls. We need a 10,000-pound lull with outriggers, at least a 10. There are 3 people ahead of me wanting one. There's not any. Yeah. And the one that's down, the 30-foot one that's down, the big scissor lift that's down, they can't get parts. There are no parts. So, yeah, I'm serious. There are no parts. So it is, yeah, it's been tough, and it is tough. And, of course, everybody's making fun of the solution and all the things go with that. Here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's not enough truck drivers. There's not enough trucks. There's not enough trains. There's not enough train cars. We got ourselves into this. And when we have overreacted, and that's exactly what's happened, we overreacted to some things. And as a result of it, we are now paying a very, very, very dear price for that. And it is going to affect our gross domestic product. It's going to affect us in many ways, folks. And there's going to be ramifications of this. And I'm very serious. I am very serious to tell you that there are going to be some very deep ramifications to this thing. There are companies that are going to quit. There are companies that are going to close. They're just going to close. They can't get help, can't get parts. They can't get what they need. They're going to quit. There's a big masonry auction down tomorrow, down Hickory or somewhere down there, going out of business. So, I'm very concerned, and I think the pendulum's going to swing the other way, and I'm not at all excited about it. I'm not at all happy about it. And to add insult to injury, we're trying to spend our way out of debt. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about that much, but you can't spend your way out of debt. It's just, you just can't do it, okay? You can't spend your way out of debt. That's been tried. And as a result of that, we're in trouble. And I was going to share with you how much trouble we're in. We are actually in some pretty deep trouble. We are heading toward some financial ruin if things don't change. Our national debt is now closing in on $29 trillion. Now get this. The federal government now owes $228,999 per taxpayer. That is what we owe. That's our burden. Okay? That's the burden that's on us and our grandchildren. $229,000 per person is what the government has gone in debt and spent. And for what? Okay? And they're up there fighting whether or not to spend $4.5 trillion or just $1.5 trillion. But either one's going to put us over $30 trillion. And so the problem is, folks, we are running over, you can't do what we're doing, okay? You just cannot do what we're doing. If we continue the way we're going, the national debt will double again, okay, just in the next 9 years if we keep going, and that's without any new big spending deals. If Biden gets his way, his budget proposal will push the national debt to 250% of our gross domestic product. So right now, we're above 100%, meaning that the debt to GDP ratio, when you spend more than you make, so our gross domestic product is what we make as a country. When you spend more than you make, what happens, folks? Well, but we've been doing it for years, and so therefore we're way, way, way in debt. And so we owe 2.5 times more than we make annually right now. And here's the problem. You know, it's amazing they always tell us, well, Social Security's going to run out. Isn't it interesting that they don't ever say welfare's going to run out? Have you ever heard them say welfare's going to run out? It's always Social Security's going to run out. Why is that? Well, you ought to see the charts. The shortfalls in Medicare and Social Security, I mean, they're staggering. They really are. They're staggering. I'm not drawing Social Security. I've postponed it. But after looking at these numbers, I think I'm going to file and get what I can before it goes under. I'm telling you, it's terrible. And when a country is in far debt as we are, now what are you going to do about it? I'm just saying. Here's what's fixing to happen, okay? The annual interest payments on the national debt that we finance, the interest in just a few years, the interest is scheduled to be $1 trillion a year. Now, if interest rates rise at all, that sum could go up dramatically. Right now, this is today. This has nothing. This is today before Biden's spending plan. You know what it's costing me and you per day in interest on what this country owes? We're spending $800 million a day. $800 million a day is what we're paying in interest. So do you understand what I'm saying? To keep spending is ludicrous. And so what's going to happen? You're going to have to increase the taxes to like Europe. You're going to have to be 50%. It's the only thing you could do. Taxes 50%. You'd have to do that. And the only way you're going to collect that is if you take it out of their bank account. That's what they do in Denmark. They take it. The government takes the taxes from the money we send. When we had a missionary over there, the federal government there in Denmark got a huge part of that. I forgot what the percentage was, but they took it out of the bank. The bank collected the taxes. You say, well, I wouldn't send it to the bank. Well, how are you going to send it overseas? We don't have no choice. So that's coming here because they've already said anything over $600, the bank's got to turn it in to make sure they get taxes. Oh, yeah. So I quote people. Where are you getting information from, preacher? Let me just give you a quote. The Peter J. Peterson Foundation has said that we continue to court a physical crisis in the near to medium term future. High levels of federal debt mean a greater risk of physical crisis that could further destabilize the United States economy and erode confidence in the U.S. currency on an international scale. So in other words, how much does a spending bill need to be? Zero. It's not a fight over $1 trillion or $4.5 trillion. It needs to be zero. We can't afford it. But preacher, we need this done and that done. You know, when are we going to wake up? You know, when are we going to get to the point that we are just going to be, we're just going to spend what we make? In other words, but we don't, here's the problem. If we were to go back to neutral today, so if we were revenue neutral, if all we spent was what we made today, there's still $29 trillion that pushes out in the future. What are we going to do about that? Folks, I keep telling you, Venezuela, they fixed their problem. It cost 4.5 million Bolivar Soberanos for one American dollar. So you know what they did October 1st? They erased the zeros. Yeah, they just erased them. And so they don't exist anymore. So people went to bed with 4.5 million in the bank, and they woke up and they had 450, four Bolivar and 50 centavos. Yeah. They took six zeros off the currency. Believe it or not, it has actually strengthened their currency. It's at 4.2 right now. It's the first time I've seen it go that direction. And I've been watching it for years. The problem is, the average Venezuelan makes $3 a month. That's what they make, $3 a month. But seriously, I'm very serious, $3. I'm not about U.S. dollars. They make $3 a month. They're starving to death. And we're sending money as much as we can. I mean, as quickly as we can. And somebody's commenting, 5533, yes, they're... Anything over $10,000, you have to report. They have to report that to the IRS. That number is changing to $600. You cash a $600 check, you take $600 out. You have any kind of $600 transaction, yeah, you're going to get zapped. You know what that's going to do to small business? It's going to destroy them. And here's the other part of it: if the bank turns it in, and then you do your taxes, and you don't show a 1099 for that income, then guess what? Not only do you owe 30-something percent of the $600, but you also are going to have to pay a penalty because you filed illegally. And so you're going to get penalized, you're going to pay a penalty, and you're going to pay interest on that money. Sure you are. So between the penalty and the interest and the renewed taxes, they can just keep right on spending. But it's not going to affect big business. It's not going to affect the wealthy. But it's going to tear small business up. Friend, this is terrible. It's one of the worst things. I'm telling you, it is awful. And just when I think that it can't get any worse than it is right now, they pull something new. And I'm just blown away by it. I'm just blown away by it. And I don't know. Somebody said, what are we going to do? I don't know. We're going to cryptocurrency. No, that's not. That could be worth almost nothing, you know, overnight. And on the other hand, it could destroy the American dollar overnight. It could. It's a betting game. It's all it is. It's like playing cards. It's like gambling. It really is. I've never seen anything go up and down as fast as cryptocurrency does. I'm talking about, man, when it hits a snag, son. I mean, it hits a snag, and it falls on the least little things. So I said, well, what is cryptocurrency? It's a number. It's a number that you buy. You buy a number. It's this number, cryptocurrency number. There's a sequence of numbers, and you buy into this, and it's a medium of exchange. No, I'm not in it. I had an opportunity to get in it. I did. But I didn't understand the concept of it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've studied it, and I still don't understand. And I've studied it, and I still don't understand it. I said, what makes it valuable? They said, well, because people think it's valuable. So people think this number is valuable. So the minute somebody has this and you're willing to give me something for what I have, suddenly it has value. Huh? Come on. Remember what was the fairy tale about the king, that the gold was so finely woven that only the trained eye could see it? And they wove this tunic out of this gold that was so fine only the king could see it. And so he goes out in the street to show off his new tunic that was only the finest eye could see. And he couldn't see it himself, but he wasn't going to let on. And the people said, "The king's naked." And suddenly he was in a mess. Well, what's the difference? Oh, this is valuable, this is valuable, this is valuable. Until it's not. Okay. Explain that one. I can't. I've tried to look at it, and I really have. And I can't make myself. I know people who's getting rich doing it, but I can't make myself. If I can't understand it, I'm not going to invest in it. You know, I don't have money to invest anyway, but I'm just not going to put nothing in it. Plus, I think that cryptocurrency could very easily be what takes over and destroys the current financial system. And I'm very serious about that. Remember what I've been telling everybody? Get you some cash. Get you some cash. Get you some cash. $20 bills. Everybody listening? $20 bills. Get you some cash. Put it up. Don't put it all in the same place. Hide it. Put it in a safe in the house. Put it somewhere. No, don't put it in the safe deposit at the bank. Don't do that. The bank, don't do that. Put it somewhere where you can get to it. And for right now, it's still worth $20. But for how long? I don't know. If they keep doing this stuff, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be. All right, let me drop back. Somebody's asking about going to church, and let me see if I can tell them how to get there, what's good and what's not. Wow. I-40 is just shut down almost westbound, and it's backed up into the junction. And so that's all the way out. I don't know what that is, but it's backed up to the junction. It's something pretty serious, apparently, because it's not slow. It's either stopped or less than 5 miles an hour. So the whole I-40 is just shut down westbound for about 5 miles, and I don't know. There's a wreck on the Biltmore Estate, and it's got traffic backed up back to 25. If you're trying to get to church from Asheville, if you can get through the junction, and I think you can, you're clear down to the airport exit. Yeah, you'll be fine. The other side, however, is still running pretty slow. Pretty slow. There is a wreck on Airport Road. I just saw that. It's on the airport side. I can't tell much about it. It's in there around, looks like around JNS Cafeteria, where it used to be, right in that section. I miss that. I miss that cafeteria. I used to like to run in there and eat. Well, it was fast. You get your food instantly, and, you know, and it was, I liked it myself. I said, "What good?" Well, I liked it. I guess I'm a cafeteria kind of guy. I liked it. So, anyway, let me, going to church from Asheville to Mills River, you're good. No issues there. Okay? I got to go. They're supposed to have brought me something to eat. I've had beanie weenies this week. Yeah, that's lunch. And so, when you're how far out as well, when it's an hour to town, yeah, you eat beanie weenies. Cold beanie weenies at that. And so, at prayer request this afternoon, let's pray for Daggy. I think people know who I'm talking about. I want you to pray for Reggie Sadler. Remember him. I want you to pray for Ben Carper. Ask you to pray for him. Remember him. Ask you to pray. And Reggie's had COVID, and he's still in the nursing center. Daggy has had COVID, and she's very sick. Ben has had intestinal surgery, and he is progressing. He's doing better. So please remember these folks, if you will, on our sick list. And there's a bunch of other people with COVID. Not near as many as there was, but there's still a bunch. Our numbers are coming down, but there's still a bunch. So don't give up don't not be vigilant, okay? Still be vigilant about your safety. Be vigilant about your safety. And for those that are, you know, you can't afford to get it, say it that way. For those that can't afford to get it, masks are still the best way. It's still the best way when you're around other people. This wearing them outside is crazy. But when you're close up to somebody, not shaking hands and wearing a mask is still a good way. And by the way, even the nurses now are not wearing N95s around COVID patients unless they're on a respirator, a CPAP, a BiPAP, something that causes it to be aerosol. Then they're required to have an N95. Otherwise, they can go in with a procedures mask on if it's somebody just has plain COVID. So it is not as transmissible by air as we first thought, apparently, because nurses are not using N95s unless there's an aerosol threat in the room. Mm-hmm. They're using the procedural mask, which is about 66% effective. The little cloth ones you wear, 30%. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Janice is over at River Ridge. Well, I was going to ask somebody about that. I never get over that way, but I was wondering if it's still open over there. Okay, well, I appreciate you letting me know. Janice Cafeteria is still open at River Ridge. All right. Thank you for being on board. Pray for us as we work this week. I don't think I'm going to be here the next couple of days, and I don't have my replacement yet, but I don't think I'm going to get to be here. We'll see, okay? Thank you so much. Let's seek the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, may your will be done, and may the mind of Christ be ours. I pray for these that are sick, these that are hurting. Pray for Daggy. Please touch her. Raise her up, Lord, if it be your will. Lord, I pray for Brother Reggie. Lord, give him strength and strengthen his body. I pray for Brother Ben. Lord, would you strengthen him and speed his recovery. And Lord, all these others that are sick that we didn't mention their names, Lord, please help them, I pray. Save the soul that's nearest hell this afternoon. Lord, we'll give you glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.